Business as usual for the Tennessee Titans on Sunday when, in the friendly confines of Nissan Stadium, they won again. 17-10 over the Carolina Panthers. Wasn't the prettiest win you'll ever see, but as I always say, they don't ask how you won, they ask if you won. And the Titans got a much-needed win that then cost Panthers coach Frank Reich his job the next day. I guess the good news, if you will, then, is that they are home again this Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts, a team they've lost to once already this season, a team that is very much in the playoff chase and will present a much more significant challenge, I would think, than the Panthers did, although this is an Indianapolis team without Shaquille Leonard, who has given the Titans problems over the years, but the Colts have moved on from him. Of course, Anthony Richardson not playing. This is the Gardner Minshew show on offense now. We will see what happens and we will look ahead to that game and look back a little bit to Sunday's victory in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast. As always, with former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you today?
I'm doing great this evening. How are you doing today, David?
Doing great. John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, good day.
Absolutely. Hope the same for you guys.
Indeed. And I am David Beauclair. Once again, this is the Believe in Titans podcast. So officially, the Titans are not undefeated in home games because the loss to Baltimore, they were the home team in that one. So if you look at the NFL standings officially, they will show the Titans at 4-1 at home. But as we know, they are 4-0 in Nissan Stadium. The only other teams that are undefeated at home this year are Philadelphia, Dallas, and Miami, all of which are pretty good teams. So there is a sign there, I guess, that the Titans have a quality of good teams. They share that with them. Another quality of good teams, of course, is that you win games in your division. The Titans are 0-2 in the division right now, with losses to the Colts and to Jacksonville. This is not a chance, I wouldn't think, to throw themselves into the thick of the division race, but it is a chance to get right a little bit again. And of course, it will be another chance for Will Levis to show what he can do. Levis had one good half Sunday, one half, I guess you could call it. No points after halftime for the Titans. But he did outplay Bryce Young, the first overall pick of the draft. John, we'll start with you. Was that a significant performance for him on Sunday? Does it speak to any more to a brighter future for the Titans than what we've seen to this point?
I thought it was a solid performance by Levis. It's kind of, you know, outside of that game against Atlanta, of course, with the four touchdown passes, it's been a little bit more of what we'd expected. You know, he's up somewhere around 200 yards passing per game. He led a couple of touchdown drives. He did not turn the ball over. You know, these are solid things. He wasn't spectacular in any way. But again, we're looking at a guy in his fifth start. I like some of the things that he's doing a little bit more consistently when we compare him to Bryce Young. I still think he gets the ball downfield a little bit more often than Bryce Young does. He doesn't take as many sacks as Bryce Young does. And I think they've both kind of got equally crummy lines. So I think it's a fair comparison there. And he hasn't turned the ball over as much as Bryce Young has either. I like, you know, this is the first time really I'd watched Bryce Young, you know, for a full game this season. I thought incredibly elusive in the pocket. So even though the Titans wound up with four sacks, about a guy that's hard to bring down, I was really impressed by that, you know, by his running ability as well. He got the ball to 10 different receivers against the Titans, you know, certainly, you know, something to be said for that. So, you know, I think there's certainly still potential, you know, with Bryce Young, but whether it's with the new coach for him or whether simple maturity takes care of this, you know, I think there has to be more, you know, maybe more some more composure in the pocket, and eventually he's going to have to find a way. And some of that also has to do with his wide receivers, not exactly an all-star crew, of being able to get the ball downfield. And you know, as for Levis, a little look taking it directly, a focus a little bit more on Levis. I did really like two things in particular about that first half that you mentioned is good first half. That one, you know, was that second drive for the Titans. They start at their own 9 yard line, and one thing the Titans haven't done real well is kind of overcome setbacks on drives this year. This drive, they overcame a third and 12, a fourth and one. A false start penalty and a sack. Levis gets a 25-yard pass to bring him down to the one, and they score on the next play there. So I like the way Levis handled that drive. And of course, right before the half, you know, a really efficient short drive. They started on their own 38 with only 28 seconds left in the half. No timeouts. He gets a couple completions for 27 yards, then gets everybody up to the line of scrimmage, gets everybody set. Make sure no movement, clocks the ball, 3 seconds left. Boom, Nick Folk kicks a 53-yard field goal. So I like that a lot. I tend to look at that a little bit more than what was, as you described it, kind of a meh second half. Didn't do too much. But since he's only, you know, still in the early stages of his career here, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and I'll say I like the what he did better in the first half and what he didn't do in the second half.
And Denard, let's talk about this. He even before kickoff, Will Levis was the guy who broke down the team in the pregame huddle. And you know, you've been in those things. I'm curious, number one, how much discussion, how much thought goes into who does that, or does somebody just typically step up and sort of and take over in that moment? And two, how significant is it in any event that the rookie quarterback was the guy doing it instead of Jeffrey Simmons or Derrick Henry or DeAndre Hopkins or somebody, you know, a more likely suspect for this team, do you think?
It varies. It just depends on the team. But listen, before pregame, if he did that and got in the middle of the huddle, what it signifies is that he is the leader of this team. He plays so good, does, you know, how, well, you know, so the Titans. He is the leader now. He is the future of this franchise. So there's not one guy that's designated to kind of lead the huddle and put the one hand and say, follow me, you know, like Ray Lewis. Nobody, I don't know. I know we didn't do it like that. It's just whoever felt led that they want to speak up that day and kind of give your two cents, as I like to call it, because I never listen to anyone anyways. And secondly, if you, I mean, and just if you look at, just watch him over the last five games. I mean, what I love about him is his presence. The fact that, and both quarterbacks, if you look at him, neither one of them turned the ball over Sunday, and that's very unusual for two rookie quarterbacks going at it. And what I like about Will, John, I'm gonna kind of piggyback on a little bit off you about that second drive. That was remarkable because if you look at it, he was what, 8 for 10 for 99 yards on that series alone. And when I watched that series, you know, when you watch Tennessee, it's like the game against Atlanta. When they start fast and they play fast, they typically end fast. But when they start slow and they're lethargic, it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to go do something else. Go get some popcorn because this is not going to turn out well. But what I love was his pocket presence. I mean, did you not see the way on that third and three when he hit Chris Moore for that out route to pick up the first? And then you talk about the strike to Chig. I mean, that's called veteran. That's a leadership. And that's what you want to see from the young guy. I thought he played magnificent Sunday. Yeah, he didn't have big numbers. What he's finished, what, 18 of 28, 185 yards. And I know sometimes people see the zero TDs, but what I like to see, it says zero interceptions. And you wonder why Tennessee won that game Sunday. They didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There was certainly not a lot of hype around this game, but a lot of the talk pregame was, you know, Bryce Young against Will Levis. It was sort of the number one storyline going in. But to your point, Denard, about his willingness to stand in there and take the hits and do the things he's doing right now, I contrast him more to Malik Willis right now. You know, we've seen Malik and you know, not to kind of kick him when he's down a little bit, but you know, the hesitancy and the uncertainty in the pocket and the, you know, sometimes trying to figure things out. I'm not saying Will Levis is always making the right throw, but he's making up his mind quickly and making a throw. He's decisive back there. And in those moments when he does have to hold the ball, he doesn't shy away from the rush. I mean, we've seen young quarterbacks get battered to where they get, you know, they get spooked eventually. David Carr in Houston, the early days of the Houston Texans, certainly comes to mind. But, you know, The issues the Titans have protecting the passer are not an issue for Will Levis right now. He's not afraid to stand in there and take those hits if he has to. And that, you know, that I sort of think connects back to the pregame huddle and the breakdown too. Teammates respect toughness and courage, and he has shown those things. And I think, you know, you want to see two good halves, two really productive halves from him, but that's going to come. The fact that you can get one right now, you know, will become three good quarters at some point, and eventually it'll become four good quarters, and the better protection he has, those things will start to come easier as well. So at this point still, I don't think you can say that the Titans made an error in the decision to look to the future and go with Will Levis, get him as much experience as they can. You know, Will, again, there's no guarantees week to week in this business, but right now it's all signs to 2024 and beyond with this offense and this guy in particular. What's not as clear as you look to the future is, and we've talked about this from time to time, is Derrick Henry and whether or not he will be here beyond this season. I mentioned a couple weeks ago he was leading the AFC in rushing, was second in the NFL, but his production has slowed tremendously here the last couple weeks. And at this point, Henry has gone four straight games without reaching 100 yards. Five, if he doesn't get there this week, it'll be five straight, which will be the longest he's had since he became the man for this offense, which was during the 2019 season. Now, Indianapolis, I mentioned Shaquille Leonard, who's a great run stopper and everything else, won't be in there. But Indianapolis is 26th in the league in run defense, allowing an average of almost 130 yards against per game. So, John, I'll come back to you. Are we looking, as we move into December here, are these the final days of Derrick Henry with the Titans? I mean, is this his age and usage and everything else caught up to him? And he's as he's running through these final weeks of the season, is he running toward the exit, do you think?
Yeah, it's certainly a good question to be raised. You know, some of the basic numbers certainly suggest, you know, that things are sliding in that direction. Yards per carry, 4.2, which is his lowest since 2017. His yards per game, or excuse me, since 2017, yards per game, 67 yards per game, which is the lowest since 2018. But, you know, when you look at also some of the, you know, the analytics, the underlying numbers are, you know, still say that Henry is you know, not that far from what he was in kind of his prime years as well. You know, and that goes from everything, you know, the basic Pro Football Focus grade. Right now is 90.3 overall, which is the second best for Derrick Henry ever. You look at things at like yards after contact. Derrick Henry's averaging about 3.3, which second lowest since 2017 on one hand, but it's not far off. It's still fairly similar to what some of the other figures have been over the years. And you know, you talk about the explosive runs. We haven't seen the big explosive runs, certainly, that we might have seen in previous years, but He's already this year had 11 carries of 15 yards or more. Surprised me. And he only had 15 all of last year. So, pretty solid in that way of looking at it as well. So, yeah, as I said, a lot of those analytics numbers you look at and say, okay, really, though he's not the prime Derrick Henry that we had seen a few years back, he's not still not that far off. So I tend to think of it as, there's still issues with that offensive line, as we know. Tend to think that still has a lot to do with it. Yeah, just the other game, for instance, Derrick Henry ran for 76 yards, but he ran for 81 yards after contact. In other words, obviously he was making up ground just to be able to gain any yards at all. Everything was after contact and more. So I think part of it is the offensive line. I also think part of it, Tajay Spears is here and he's a very good rookie. We've talked about this before. He is by far the best of the guys who've sort of been number two behind Derrick Henry, and he's a guy that deserves to get touches, deserves to get snaps. And that takes away from Derrick Henry's carries as well. It's just going to happen that way. And then you throw in the fact too that you've got a rookie quarterback throwing to a group of receivers that is not exactly explosive in nature. You're still going to get a lot of stacked boxes against Derrick Henry. So I don't think I'm not ready to put my fist down and say that's it. Derrick Henry is sliding. Things are really looking bad. So as I look ahead, I still think it's not completely out of the question that Derrick Henry comes back next year after his contract expires. I think there are reasons for both sides. Certainly from a PR value, if nothing else, the Titans would love to have Derrick Henry back next year. I mean, he's a legend here in Nashville and certainly the most popular player for years on this team. And still, as I pointed out, still effective as some of the numbers we'll talk about. And I think Derrick Henry is happy. It would not be absolutely stunning to see him back next year as well.
Denard, as you look in, put yourself, I guess, in Rand Carthen's shoes. Rand Carthen hasn't had Derrick Henry as his back for all these years. He's sort of analyzing him with a fresh set of eyes. What is he seeing? Is he seeing a good power back? Is he seeing an aging guy? Is he, is he seeing a guy who can still be a central piece of this offense? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to look at it from a guy who's actually played, and I know what it's like when you start talking about changing coordinators and how they call a game. There's no more Arthur Smith. There's no Todd Downing. He was very successful as those two when he was his offensive coordinator. But last not least, let's look at some things. I want to give you a few names, by the way, because remember when you subtract something, what do you add in return? You're
Yeah.
talking about Roy, yes, he's a constant still there. He's your center. But what about Ben Jones? He's no longer in Nashville. He's retired. I'm gonna give you another name, Roger Saffold. Where is he playing now? Buffalo?
No. He no.
Minnesota.
They yeah, Minnesota, yeah, Minnesota just picked him up recently. That's right.
Nate Davis. We talked about Nate Davis. When they lost him, that would be a huge loss for this offensive line. We're talking about Nate Davis was one of the best at that position. You two, John and David, you bragged on how good Nate played that last year in Tennessee, even though he was banged up a lot, but he was consistent. You're talking about Dan Quisenberry. Was he not consistent at that right tackle position when a lot of players went down? He held his own, didn't he, when he got in there and started? Was that in 2021?
Yeah, he was
Good.
there.
Good.
Yep. Yeah, played the whole
Retired.
season.
The whole season. Taylor Wan retired. I mean, you got a new ensemble now blocking for you, and you got a bunch of what? Aaron Brooks, Peter Skoronski is a rookie. Andre Dillard, he struggled. Dylan Raittens, I mean, we've been on him, but the last 2 years, Jalen Duncan played well Sunday. But again, there's a lot of new pieces. So if you ran Carthon right now, you got to say, well, if we're going to build around Will Levis, well, we got to also put a line together that we know can open up hole for Derrick Henry. I mean, yeah, he does. He's getting older. We know that. And unfortunately, in this league, when you get older, your value starts to diminish. But I still think he has a lot in the tank. And if I'm Rand Carthon, if I address this offensive line this offseason and make some key addition in free agency and through the draft, I'm going to bring him back because I still feel like he's a every down. He's still a three down back in this league.
Yeah, I you know, he has improved his pass catching such as it is. I mean, he's not lining up in the slot and running routes, but he's become pretty darn effective in the screen game, and I actually think he's going to be back next year too, assuming nobody breaks the bank for him. I don't think the Titans are going to throw huge money at him, but I don't think anyone else will either. We all saw what the running back market was this past offseason, and as it stands right now, there are going to be tons of really good running backs available this offseason, from Josh Jacobs to Saquon Barkley to Tony Pollard to Dalvin Cook to Austin Eckler to DeAndre Swift, Gus Edwards, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. On and on it goes. I mean, there's going to be something for everybody. And to your point too, Denard, about subtracting something, if you're the Titans and you have this offensive identity, And you're working to build this quarterback, doesn't it make sense, if you can, to sort of stick with your offensive identity? We've talked about it ad nauseum. There's, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is a really fine wide receiver, but the Titans passing game in general is not scaring people. The first thing defenses still do is they load up to stop the run game and Derrick Henry. So if you can, if you can force defenses to do that again next year, but put a little bit better offensive line in front of him and create the opportunities for Will Levis to see the one-on-one matchups and do that, it makes sense to me to bring him back on a 2-year deal. SpotRack.com, for example, estimates Derrick Henry is worth a 2-year deal at $19.1 million, which I would think anywhere, you know, $15 to $20 million for 2 years seems like a reasonable deal for Derrick Henry. And to your point, John, you know, he's taken 56% of the offensive snaps this year, which is on track for the lowest percentage he's had in a while. So Tyjae Spears is getting his touches, probably will get more touches next season. But Derrick Henry is still effective in the spots you need him to be. He's one of 8 running backs in the league right now with at least 6 rushing touchdowns. So, you know, if he's willing to sort of transition into that just power back, more first down, short yardage, and maybe let Spears do some of the other stuff going along the way, I think it makes sense to bring him back and keep that continuity for Will Levis as he continues to grow, but let him sort of see the same sort of things from defenses he's seeing this year. You know, because again, I just don't think that anybody's going to throw a big wad of cash at him that'll make it attractive enough for him to go anywhere else. And I agree with John. I think he's happy here. I think he likes it here. You know, he surpassed 9,000 rushing yards on Sunday. 10,000, you know, is out there. Eddie George hit that mark here. I think it would be meaningful to Derrick Henry to be able to get 10,000 yards all with one franchise. So it'll be a very big storyline this offseason and a fun one to watch. I mentioned the Colts, of course, as we're winding this thing down. Let's get right to it. Colts, the Titans were the ones who ended rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson's season. If people haven't enjoyed playing against Gardner Minshew the last couple of weeks, they can blame the Titans for that. But with Minshew playing more than half that game, the Colts piled up 429 yards of offense in that one, including almost 200 rushing yards. John, are the Titans going to have an answer for the Colts on Sunday and what Minshew and the rest of that crew is going to do?
They're going to be better, certainly second time around, you know, as we know, and as you mentioned at the start, they're playing at the, you know, the fortress, the unbeatable Nissan Stadium, which no team could even think about coming in and winning, apparently. So there's that to consider. But beyond that, you know, I think There are some players that'll be returning for the Titans that they didn't have last time. One of them was Tyre Tartt, who, of course, as we know, is a big time run stopper, and I think that'll help when it comes to stopping Zach Moss. Titans won't have to worry about Jonathan Taylor because he's got a thumb injury that's going to keep him out. And it's looking maybe like Treylon Burks might make a return. He's been out since the Pittsburgh game, with the concussion that he suffered against Pittsburgh. Missed, I believe, 3 games there. But he was a full participant at practice today. Very encouraging sign. I don't believe he's officially out of concussion protocol, but certainly optimistic that that could happen. And then you look at the Titans for a long stretch there, about 4 or 5 weeks, were just getting mauled in the run game, which was surprising because it was so unusual for this team and their identity. But then now you look at the last 3 games, they've averaged it's only about 100 yards per game they've allowed, and the per carry average that they've allowed over those 3 games, 2.7, 3.6, and 3.0. So they're kind of getting back to that old Titans brand of defense where they're pretty solid against the run, which is going to be very big against the Colts. And of course, I think having a week to prepare against the dreaded Gardner Minshew, as funny as that might sound, I think it is important, because I assume obviously they were preparing for Anthony Richardson before, and that's a different style of quarterback than Gardner Minshew. So I think maybe a little more prep time for this style of quarterback will help. So I think those things maybe combined with a little bit better pass rush that we've seen from the Titans, I think there is reason to believe that there might be a different outcome this time around.
Yeah, they will have to deal with a Jonathan Taylor who's in full flight now. He was just coming back from his
No, no, no,
suspension.
they won't.
No, they won't.
Oh,
He hurt?
he's hurt. He's got
Oh.
thumb situation. Yeah, he's
Oh, I
going to be out
missed
for a
that.
few weeks.
Thank
Yeah,
you for
not on
correcting
IR,
me.
but it looks like multiple weeks.
Well, there you go. That helps. So, Denard, no one's confusing Gardner Minshew with Peyton Manning, but what makes him an effective quarterback? What do the Titans have to do to keep him from doing some of the things he's capable of doing on Sunday?
Well, first of all, let me just go back and say, you said Jonathan Taylor's out, so that helps. If y'all remember the first game down in
Zach
Indy,
Moss had him a day. True.
I would rather have Jonathan Taylor after that
Yeah.
one. But speaking of Gardner Minshew, Gardner, he's just I like his elusiveness, but this is an interesting. I was thinking about, at this game, and I'm thinking about Tennessee's defense. And if I'm Shane Bowen this week, and I'm not going to get off because I don't think Minshew is, he's going to come down to the way that he can get the ball and distribute to the receivers. But this game, if you're Shane Bowen, remember, you don't see things happen twice in this league in a division game. That means that the way that Indy beat up Tennessee down in Indy, how they just absolutely ran the ball down their throat, Shane Bowen saying, that's not going to happen this game. Now, this is the issue that I have, David. I want to get this out. The game against Tampa last week, Gardner Minshew had no TD passes. But when you look at that game, he targeted, and I mean absolutely, he went right at Michael Pittman. That's his main target. He has developed that chemistry with Michael Pittman. The way that Tennessee's going to win this game and stay perfect at home, forget about the game in London, is they're going to have to rely on their secondary. That means they're going to have to play zone. They're going to have to make sure they keep everything in front of them. Because I don't see Indy coming in and beating Tennessee if all the thing they're going to do is run the ball. And that's where it's going to come down to Minshew. Remember, this is a team last week, they didn't have a passing touchdown. And so one of the things that their offensive coordinator is going to get going, they're going to try to get going early, is to make sure they get this passing game going to try to open up those holes for Zach Moss to get going. So again, that's what Gardner Minshew, he's a different kind of quarterback. But he's not the guy that I think Anthony Richardson, I don't think he can beat you by himself. He's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. And John, you referenced the pass rush. We have to point out, give a tip of the cap to the guy we don't talk about enough on here. I don't think anybody around the league talks about him. Denico Autry is up to 8 sacks again this year, 3 years in a row. That's a significant streak. He is He is just one of the more productive, solid, useful players this team has had in a long time at any position. And to think that, you know, the Colts let him go in free agency and the Titans were able to get him over here. That was that was a double win for the Titans a couple of years ago. And, you know, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows how I feel about this thing. Until I see a streak end, I'm not betting against it. So I'm thinking the Titans find a way to win this game too. I think we might see the Titans run the ball pretty well in this one. I think it might be a little bit of a reversal of the first one with the Titans kind of dominating on the ground. But that is for Sunday afternoon, and we will be watching, and we will be ready to talk about it next week. As always, for Denard Walker, for John Glennon, I am David Beauclair, and thank you for listening to Believe in Titans.